The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sesmatt. Thanks for being with us. We're on AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic on White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona and on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. It's great to be back in studio. Yesterday in Tucson, the University of Arizona Wildcat folks were terrific. I lost about 20 followers on Twitter, and most of them sent me notes saying, talking U of A, I'm an ASU guy, unfollow. It's fine. Knock yourselves out. And then next week when we go do the show over at ASU, then I'll get the U of A guys that will do the same thing. It's kind of fun in that way. It's like a balancing act. Next week I'll get all these U of A guys and screw you, Brad, you're talking too much ASU. I'm never going to make either side happy. It's not my goal to make either side happy. I love the conspiracy theorists. He's just going to Tucson to make it look like he likes U of A, even though he really likes ASU. And then there's those that have listened for more than a nanosecond that understand that I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't care. Don't care about either side. I just want a good story. Yesterday, the head coach comes in, sits down. The athletic director comes over, sits down. Quarterback comes over, sits down. It's all that matters. It's just about content. Content, content, content. Stephen Colbert named as Letterman's replacement. And the Masters are going on today. So, yeah, I'm a little distracted today. I mean, I'm trying to wrap my arms around the Letterman replacement. It's the biggest story today. It's trending worldwide. But I understand it's a sports show to a point, but I'm going to talk about things that are of interest to me sometimes, not just you. If I'm interested in it, I'm going to be more into it. The Masters are very interesting to me. Don't care that a guy named Tiger isn't there. All I care is Angel Jimenez is on top of the leaderboard right now as we speak. I'm going to hear about the Azaleas. I'm going to hear about the Jim Nance impersonators. That's what happens this time of year. People get a little goofy, a little silly over golf. You know, there's some legal stories going on. I'm actually starting to follow the Oscar Pistorius trial a little bit. I don't know if I'm becoming like, am I growing breasts here, Eric? Am I becoming like this, the female side of me is coming out here?
I thought you were asking if you gained weight.
But no, am I becoming like too feminine to do this show?
Yeah, I don't
if I'm becoming
so.
the Pistorius thing.
And it happens in the middle of the night. Like the trial goes on at like 2 a.m. So when we wake up and we flip on the Today Show, it's one of the first stories.
He's this whiny baby. Oh, I'm so sorry. Shut up. So I get into that. And then this Colin Kaepernick story breaks. Whenever, here's a rule of thumb if you're an athlete, present day, or you want to be. If a story is being reported first by TMZ, it's never good. It's not that you're being traded from one franchise to another or that you're being given a contract extension. And in the case of Colin Kaepernick, TMZ is reporting that he is being investigated. And I'll tell you what the investigation is about here in a couple of minutes. And the 49ers are involved, and it's becoming a huge story. And it's not good involving Colin Kaepernick. So I'll get into that here momentarily. Al McCoy is going to join us, Hall of Fame voice of the Phoenix Suns. Al is in, I believe he's in San Antonio today. The Suns last night, they were awful last night. Even if you're the most ardent Suns fan, if you watch that slop last night, they're lucky to get out of there alive this late into the season. I don't understand why. I did not watch the start of the game. Eric had a very funny antidote about the start of the game last night.
So I was just doing some work around the house, and I had the game on. And Steve Albert, who does the play-by-play, along with Eddie Johnson, were kind of making fun of the Hornets, Pelicans fans,
yeah,
because there's a tradition, finger quotes, in New Orleans where the Pelican fans don't sit down until the Pelicans score their first point.
A tradition like none other.
Something like that.
Yeah.
1 minute into the game, no points. 2 minutes into the game, no points. 3 minutes into the game, no points. Timeout. Fans still standing. 4 minutes into the game, the Pelicans still haven't scored. And the Suns aren't that – I mean, the Suns were only ahead like 8-0. I think the end of the first quarter, it was 19-10.
So these poor the elderly folk that decided, hey, let's go to the game.
The arena was like maybe a third full.
we're 80 and we're going to go down the stairs because we'll have a nice seat. Well, no, you're supposed to stand.
Steve Albert was complaining because the people sitting courtside, he couldn't see on the angle down the opposite end of the court because the people were still standing, and there was like 8.5 minutes left in the first quarter.
So Al probably was a little grumpy then last night, because I know Al does not like being away from the court. So I have to ask Al, were there fans standing?
Yeah. No, it was funny. It was a good bit.
Al McCoy here in about 10 minutes. We're all about good bits. Charles Davis, NFL Network, Fox College Football Analyst. I remember having Charles Davis on when he first got started, and he was scared and didn't say anything. And as he's gone through his career, he's terrific now. I really believe he's a riser. He does a very good job. So I want to talk to him about the upcoming draft. We'll do some NFL draft stuff. Also, I don't know if you followed this. UCLA is making a big Brett Hundley for Heisman Trophy push. Because we're Arizona-centric at Sports 360 AZ, we're going to talk about this Hundley for Heisman push by UCLA and if it's deserved or not. And I'm sure Charles will have a little bit on the – you want me to talk to him about the Pro Bowl? Eric tells me what I need to talk to him about. Sometimes I
you
listen,
should.
Sometimes I don't.
You should.
What if I don't want to?
It was the biggest local story yesterday. The Pro Bowl's coming to Arizona. I could really care less, but guess what? 11.4 million people watched it last year.
Right.
So as bad as it is, the NFL is king, and now they're going to have two games next year.
So let me ask you this. When you're able to just rattle off those stats, sounds like you went to the press conference yesterday.
I did.
And that they were very much along the lines of, we have to knock down this perception that the game blows, so we're going to tell you how many people watch. And we're also going to put it out in print so that guys like Sesmat behind microphones actually acknowledge us. The game blows. So that's that.
I had a great conversation with Mark Dalton after the press conference, because Mark Dalton is the head of PR with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Yesterday was one of those press conferences, Brad, where it was half news reporters and half sports reporters.
Those are never good.
So Mike Bidwill is up there, and he's so excited about the game, and all these news people are asking about, how is this, are you going to have enough security? Do you think SB 1062 had any impact?
Get out of here.
I swear to you.
Really? It was one of those deals?
I swear to you. And
those
I can feel
train wrecks.
I can feel Mark behind me, and I can like feel the beads of sweat. I mean, this is supposed to be a great announcement. I mean, the busiest sports week just got busier. You're gonna have Waste Management, you're gonna have the Super Bowl, and now a week earlier you're gonna have the Pro Bowl. And all these news people want to do is try to get little tidbits about, you know, is this gonna help the economy? Blah 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 blah. Do we really need this? Yada yada yada.
Do we really need this?
Such is life.
So here's I'll fill you all in on how this works. So if you're in TV news, you walk into this room for what they call a morning meeting, which usually means people have predetermined ideas because it's of interest to them. Sometimes you walk into these morning meetings and there's some really sharp people. Other times you walk into these morning meetings and it's people that are just there to fill a job out and fill some time and put a show together. Like they're going to go work out and do their laundry because it's just another day. And they have no passion at all. So when they hear that there's a football press conference, well, who cares? It's April. Well, did SB 1062? So somebody really, so this goes into a morning meeting where somebody said, hey, I have a really good question. I wonder if they almost lost this over SB 1062. Well, you better go ask that question. So this poor little 20-something is being told, you better go ask that question. And they walk in there, and they have no clue what this story is about. They don't watch the Pro Bowl. They just want to make sure they take their dog for a walk at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when their story's done. That's it.
It got to the point where Mike Bidwill, you could tell he was just, like, irritated. I mean, he was doing his best to answer the question to at least appease the person answering it who was sent down there to ask a question that really had nothing
to do
about the Pro Bowl. Give me
the 14-second soundbite.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's annoying.
It's annoying. And, like, you know, even the people that are regulars down there were even kind of turning around like, what are you doing?
WTF. I mean, there's some times where you have to ask the question that nobody in the room wants to ask. Actually, every time you should ask that. But this is a football game. This is a glorified scrimmage. That's all that this is. How much is this costing taxpayers? That's funny. Do you have a question today, by the way, after my long rant? Did you do a Facebook question today?
Do I have a question?
Yeah. Crickets? No, no question. I see where you're going today. So do you need some help on a Facebook question? No, you do need some help on a Facebook question. All right. I got the crickets. Understood. I'll give you one here in a second. So I'll just move from that on to here's what's going on in the world of sports. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort, we try some things and they work and some things they don't. We never rehearse. We just don't. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains just outside of Pine Top. We love going to the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino, you can get away. You can get unplugged from all of the stuff going on, the hustle and bustle. But then you can pull down on the slots, have some winnings, eat some great food, have some fun. You can do it just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. When I say beautiful, I mean beautiful. White Mountains, that's at the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. So the I wanted to start with the Suns, but I've got Al coming up here in a couple of minutes. I'll get over there. At some point, I've got to get into Colbert. I've got to talk about the Masters and where it is in the middle of the day. There's people whining about how the Masters isn't on television. It's a demand thing. They want social media to be so angry that by the time it comes on that first day, it's created a huge buzz. It's very smart on their part. The Diamondbacks last night, Goldschmidt hits a three-run home run. And the way that it works with Goldschmidt against Lincecum, 542, seven home runs, 17 runs batted in for Goldschmidt against Tim Lincecum. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. And I don't have an explanation as to why he's that good against him. Bronson Arroyo gets the win. Tonight it's Randall Delgado on the mound. Here is Gibby after the game on Goldie's first inning homer.
It's amazing. And you don't usually see right-handed hitters hit the ball out to right field as well. But, we're happy. Obviously, we've been struggling, and to get three runs right out of the gate like that and first three hitters is a big lift for the team.
That's what you need. The rotation, right now, the Diamondbacks rotation, a National League worst 6.5 earned run average. So last night, Arroyo gives them a little something. Tonight, Randall Delgado's on the mound. Win tonight, take 2 of 3 at San Francisco, and then come back, and you get the Dodgers here this weekend, a little bit of momentum. Lose 2 of 3 in San Francisco, come back home, have the Dodgers. Not so much in the way of momentum. One other story before we get to the break. And that is what's going on with Colin Kaepernick. So TMZ is reporting that the 49ers organization is aware that there are reports now that Colin Kaepernick is being investigated for a possible sexual assault at a hotel in Miami, Florida. TMZ is the first one to report this. I'm only passing along what's out there. That's all I know. Organization says they're gathering the pertinent facts. Al McCoy's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Sports 360 AZ with Brad Sussmat on AZ Central Sports. Great to be partnered with the Arizona Republic. They carry the show day in and day out on AZ Central, White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. Yesterday, great time in Tucson. All the people of the U of A football department were terrific. Appreciate their support. Jack Nicklaus, we'll hear from Jack Nicklaus here in a few minutes on Tiger. But for now, I want to turn our attention, as mentioned before the break, Al McCoy, the Hall of Fame voice of the Phoenix Suns, joins us on the road. Suns at San Antonio, a day off. Al, about ready to head on out to lunch, so we'll keep it short. How are you, Al?
Well, I'm doing good. Things got a little scary in New Orleans last night, Brad, but I guess when it was all over, we looked back and said, well, they did what they had to do. They made the stops when they had to get defensive stops, and then when the Suns needed to score, they did, but it still was a little scary, but they got the win in New Orleans, and that's the main thing that they're concerned about right now.
I was getting a little agitated last night watching them down the stretch. I'm curious, were you getting a little irritated at the start of the game? I didn't hear you at the start of the game. So the fans have this tradition Eric was telling me about where they stand until the Pelicans score a point. They couldn't score a point, so they're standing. Are they standing in front of you, Al? I know how some of these arenas can be.
Well, they weren't standing in front of me, Brad, but the Suns held the Pelicans scoreless for the first 4 minutes and 16 seconds of the game, so the fans had to stand a little bit longer. But, you know, it was one of those games that we've seen the Suns do all year. They would jump out to a 10-point lead, then they'd give it up, and they'd get up by 10, then they'd give it up. But as Coach Jeff Hornacek did say after the game, although he was a little nervous also, he said that when they had to have stops, they made them. When they had to score, they did, and they got the win. And now The concentration obviously is on the next two nights here in San Antonio tomorrow night, then back-to-back with Dallas on Saturday. And as we all know, every game right now is a must-win situation, but the team seems to be prepared. Goran Dragic did turn that ankle a little bit last night. That has some concern, but good that there's a day off today, and hopefully that swelling will go down, and I'm sure he'll be ready tomorrow night.
Of course, there's Memphis on Monday and then Sacramento to finish out the season. Hall of Fame voice Al McCoy for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat. Al, I'm curious on a bigger picture about the NBA. Indiana rested all five of their starters. LeBron James said after his game that this time of year is only about getting healthy. It raises the question about, is the NBA season too long? You've seen this league. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's interesting because that came up on our broadcast last night with my sidekick, Tim Kempton. Up until the last recent years, we didn't see players being rested. I mean, you go back to when the Suns played Chicago in the NBA Finals, and of course those were the days with Charles Barkley, Dan Marley, Kevin Johnson, and company. Players played. Mm-hmm. They didn't set out games going down to the last few weeks of the season. I think probably Coach Popovich here in San Antonio maybe started that a few years ago when he simply said he was going to rest his players when he thought it was necessary. Now, that's one side of the coin. The other answer to your question is things have changed for players. Going back in the era that I'm talking about, when the season was over, most players didn't even touch a basketball for 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. And when they came to training camp, that was to get into shape, and that's what preseason was all about. Now you see these players playing 12 months a year, working out 12 months a year, playing in Europe, summer league. And, you know, we forget sometimes that even though these are great athletes in great condition, they're still human. How many times can you run up and down that floor? How many times can you take the banging and the beating that they do? And I think there's probably more to that than the length of the season right now. And I think there is a concern in the NBA that I think most owners are thinking now about asking players to limit their off-season competition. And I think that probably is the reason that we're seeing maybe some of these injuries and perhaps a lot of teams resting players. That's just one thought, Brad.
Sure, but and I respect your opinion immensely. You're a Hall of Fame broadcaster, and you've seen this league for a long time. And it's a bigger conversation that we're not going to fit into this amount of time. But by example, if the Suns weren't in this push, Goran Dragic may need a night off tomorrow night. But because they're in this push, he's got to play through it. That's what we're alluding to here a little bit, Al?
Well, there's no question about it. And it kind of changes things. Just for example, last night, obviously, Suns fans were rooting for Memphis to lose their game against Miami. But they didn't. And, you know, here San Antonio lost the game the other night to Minnesota, which you wouldn't expect. But they're just keying up. Those teams are keying up for the playoffs, and they're resting players. Now, whether that's right or wrong is probably not for you and I to decide, but it has changed in recent years, this theory of resting players going down to the playoff time.
Last question before I let you go tomorrow night, San Antonio. I feel like you're going to make it in. Just it's hard to say wins, losses. Assuming you make it in, the best matchup for the Suns would be, because it's going to be either one or two in all likelihood. In your view, is it the Spurs tomorrow night? Is it Oklahoma City? Is it a no-win either way, Al?
Well, I think probably the matchup would be San Antonio. And it's going to be interesting knowing Coach Popovich, as we both do.
Yep.
How's he going to play the game tomorrow night? Does San Antonio, would they rather play Dallas in the opening round of the playoffs, or would they rather play the Suns? And that might have something to do who Coach Popovich holds out of tomorrow night's game. We'll just have to wait and see. As far as the Suns, I don't think it makes any difference who they're going to play in the opening round, but I'll say this. Most teams don't want to play the Suns in the opening round because the Suns, as we know, are typical of having those huge nights. And I think they're a team that probably no team wants to match up with in the opening round. But first, the Suns have to get there.
No. It's the fact that you and I are even having this discussion in mid-April is amazing, and a terrific job done by Coach of the Year, in my opinion, Jeff Hornacek. Al, I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Oh, it's good to talk to you, Brad. Keep your fingers crossed, but never count this Suns team out.
There's Al McCoy, Hall of Fame voice, the Phoenix Suns on the road in San Antonio. Appreciate a couple of minutes with Al. It's always great to get the insight, especially on this whole question of, and it leads to something I wanted to get into on today's show further. So earlier this week, an unnamed, high-ranking Major League Baseball executive floated it out there that the length of the Major League Baseball season is too long and that the games are too long. The games are often played too slowly. This, I would like this high-ranking baseball official to have come forward to talk about this, but he floated the suggestion, and ESPN picked this up, and a couple of other national outlets picked this up. The executive went for this, that he thinks that games, they ought to change the games to 7 innings. A 7-inning baseball game because it would be quicker and that there's no longer attention. What, are we turning this into Little League? I'm trying to be open-minded on this. I'm a guy that's in my 40s, on the backside, I might add, of my 40s. But I look at this growing up with the game, and have somebody suggest that the baseball games need to be shortened up. The length of the NBA season, LeBron James brought that into the focus. The Indiana Pacers resting all 5 of their starters. So you, the fan, go watch the Pacers play, and you're being introduced to 5 guys that never start. Thus, you have been ripped. There's no other way to put it. You have been jacked. They've taken your money, and too bad if it's 5 guys. We got to focus on the postseason. That's not good. Baseball, if you shorten it down to 7 innings, you're taking away, first of all, advertising dollars, advertising revenue. I'm sure they could turn around and monetize that in a different sort of way. Why jerk around the length of the game? 7 innings, you mean in each game, 7 innings instead of 9. The guy says 7 innings, he said. And he went on to explain that if baseball adopted this, it would represent a tonic for all the problems he sees. 7 innings instead of 9 would mean that games would finish closer to 2.5 hours than 3 hours or longer. Again, I'm an older guy, so the beauty of baseball to me is there is no stopwatch, there is no timer. Have I seen that change through the years where all of us are on one of these smartphones? All of us carry around one of these, and so we want things instantaneous. I don't think it should come to that point of impacting the length of a game. You can have a 2-hour and 30-minute game, speed up the process on the mound. Shorten up the number of pitching. I mean, there's a number of ways to go about it rather than say, well, let's just shorten the game up. You know, we're not going to play a full 9 innings anymore, so records be damned, and what we're used to, we're not going to see anymore.
And the baseball purists, Brad, are never going to go for that. Like, baseball is such a historically based game with stats, seam heads going all the way back to the early 1900s. There's no way they're going to shorten a game to 7 innings because that would mess with the beauty, as some people call it, of baseball. There's no game that's more stat-driven than baseball. People love baseball stats.
But here's what I notice. So you're right, and I agree with you. The notion that the younger generation does not like to go to baseball games because it's too slow, I completely disagree with. My sample size is pretty small, but it's my 4 kids, all right? My 4 kids want to go. They've been begging me, can we go to a game? The Diamondbacks are home against the Dodgers this weekend. We may go. And it's my 18-year-old daughter. I want to go to a game. I like watching them play. Wow, they're pretty good. Yeah, Goldie's kind of hot. Okay, I get it. Teenage daughter, she's got a heartthrob. That's fine. But even my 9-year-old is, when are we going to go see the Diamondbacks play? I want to go to a game.
And baseball's the best way to either reconnect or to connect with people, because it's a sport where there's a lot of downtime. Yep. So if you want to go and catch up with someone, take them to a baseball game. The baseball almost in the regular season serves as a backdrop, because you can go and spend time with your family and spend $100 eating.
The reason why I got married, a big part of it, baseball. Here's the thing. I would go on dates with this girl because she was a baseball fan. We would sit in the bleachers and talk about the game and then talk about and get to know each other. You go to a movie, you don't get to know each other. You go to all sorts, we get to know each other. That sounds kind of corny, but it's true. 7 innings. The fact that somebody would float this out there. Now, the length of the NBA season, I do think that there is something to that. But again, there'd be stats that are thrown out. Would you be better off having a 70-game season rather than an 82-game season? They'd still find ways to rest players late in the year. I can't fault coaches. I can't fault coaches. It's a question that if I were sitting with Jerry Colangelo, who oversees USA basketball, it would get into club play, how kids are playing basketball way too many games when they're 11, 12, 13, 14. It would get into the European model. I'm fascinated by this subject. The NBA, you have agents that are involved, though. Now, you have agents that are saying, hey, you got to take care of yourself, man. You got to take some days off. You got to be, you have to have a coach that's not going to grind you. So there's a lot of different factors into it, but both are out there today as topics of conversation. Length of baseball games, shortening them up to seven innings, the NBA season, what happened last night in Indiana, what happened with Miami and LeBron after the game. They end up losing to Memphis late in the year. They don't care. They're just angling here at this point. In about 15 minutes, Charles Davis will be with us from the NFL Network and Fox. We'll talk college football, as we do a lot of college here on Sports 360 AZ. We're going to hear from Jack Nicklaus on the other side on Tiger Woods. Rich Rod and myself yesterday sat down one-on-one on the show on Kadeem Carey's pro future and much more in the next half hour. I'm Brad Sussmat on Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
So Stephen Colbert gets named as David Letterman's replacement. I'm doing a sports show, but it's of interest to me, and I'm going to talk about it here for a little bit. The Masters is in progress. We'll check the leaderboard here in a little bit. Charles Davis in about 10 minutes talking NFL draft with the NFL Network and NFL on Fox, and much more as we continue on a busy Thursday. So Letterman leaves, and I was a big Letterman fan. He's going to be gone next year. CBS turns right around and names Stephen Colbert today as the replacement. Are you a late-night TV guy, Eric?
No.
You didn't watch Leno, Letterman,
not really.
Kimmel, Fallon?
I mean, I'm kind of getting into Jimmy Fallon because it's funny. And a lot of the stuff, if I don't see it that night, I'll catch it the next day on YouTube, or I'll go back and or someone will send me
a
link.
He's very smart.
Yeah, he's very creative, too. So yeah,
I mean, the thing with Letterman, it's kind of sad that he's going out because so what his ratings are. Letterman's been an institution, and his dumb humor and his stupid pet tricks and stupid human tricks have been a staple for the 80s, 90s.
It's an ego thing, though, Brad. He's not at the top of the food chain anymore.
He's not at the top of the food chain.
And he probably said, you know what? I'm probably not ever going to be able to beat Jimmy Fallon, so I better get out now. And now's a good time to get out.
Of course. Shows are different. You know, if what we're doing here is really no different than what they do there, except it's just a bigger guest and you have to make promises. And it's like when the Today Show was paying guests and that was viewed as completely unethical, which, by the way, it is. Please come on our show and we'll write you a check. Well, we didn't write you a check, but we booked you at this place and that place and this place and that place while you're sitting there pushing your movie or whatever it is. I don't know. Colbert, for me, he's fine. He's nothing over the top. Jon Stewart, I think, was probably too edgy. But it's just a shift for so many of you as you're watching. And we'll have Goody at the movies on tomorrow. And Bill and I will talk further about this. But that story did pop up on my radar today. It's the number one trending thing. It's actually like the top five things trending right now are Colbert, Letterman, Late Night, and all that stuff. And I hope he has him on the show. You know, bring him on the show and just kind of make fun at him. Go out in style, man. I don't know how Colbert will be versus Jimmy Fallon versus Fallon's humor is so edgy. He did a thing with Stevie Nicks last night that was really good. It was really smart. So that caught my eye today. I think what was the other story? The Colin Kaepernick thing. So we started the show and we brought it up that Kaepernick, this was TMZ, and now it's expanded to the point of the general manager of the 49ers, Trent Baalke, is saying the 49ers organization is aware of the recent media report regarding Colin Kaepernick and is in the process of gathering the pertinent facts. Okay, so that's the very first statement. The organization is out front on this.
Do you think teams just have like the standard go-to where it's like, yeah, you have that file saved, the we are aware of what's going on and we're not going to further comment now, but until... Exactly.
Page 12,
that's it.
Page 17.
Some intern is like, Some intern is like, I've got to find wherever this is. I'm sure it's on a hard drive somewhere on a Mac computer, and I'll just like pop it up, and that'll be our general statement.
But here's the thing on this. It's like the what's going on with Pistorius, okay? That story has overtaken, you mentioned on morning shows and your morning consumption, that story has taken over a lot of people's attention. And it's like we're in this space now where it's day after day of looking for a plane and putting on people that have model planes. Here's what might have happened. Silly, ridiculous, totally no credibility at all.
Where's the black box?
To now it's a black box. To now it's a submarine. To now it's, well, take whales from the Navy and send them down there and see if they can find pings and all that stuff. And we become infatuated with this. When it happens in sports, it doesn't matter if it's Ray Rice dragging a girlfriend by the hair and it's caught on camera, or if it's Kobe Bryant in Colorado, or if it's even on the allegation phase, the organization has now had to address it. And it's happened here in Phoenix. It's happened in most every city. That's not a far-reaching comment. There are problems within society, and they fall over to professional sports. When I hear people say, well, in our league, we don't have all the problems that the NFL has, be careful what you wish for. Be careful how you're going to say, well, we got it all figured out here, because it only takes one guy or one girl to screw the whole thing up. It does. Yeah. Are there a lot of NFL players? Are we in that time of year where teams just have to hold their breath? It's usually around June up to about the third week in July when camps open. They're not at the compound. They're not at the facility. They're running with their guys and bad things happen. So this story now is in the beginning stages. Kaepernick's agent, no comment. Kaepernick doesn't appear to be fazed by the allegations. He was at a Miami nightclub Sunday morning. He was at the Viceroy as recently as April 5th. He hung out with a wedding party near the pool at the hotel. People in the wedding party said Colin couldn't have been nicer. He made the bride's weekend, quote unquote. So, and because it's Colin Kaepernick, yeah, I'm going to bring it up here on the show a little bit. Anything to do with the Cardinals within their division, and if it's a player of note, then yeah, it's going to be something to be talked about. The Cardinals, lost yesterday in the Pro Bowl was that their preseason schedule was released yesterday. I think most of you know I despise preseason football. I think it's a complete ripoff to you. I didn't care much last year to see the number one pick of the Cardinals grabbing himself on the ground and gone for the season over something that was worthless and meaningless and is nothing more than a money grab for the owners. Period. Exclamation point. Do they need training camp for a few weeks? Sure they do. Do they need four of these worthless games? Why waste jet fuel to go to San Diego to play the Chargers on August 28th when it's the final preseason game and everybody's just trying to get out of the way and not get hurt? Or guys that are going to be digging ditches and pumping gas the week after are just out there so that you can go as suckers with the hook in your mouth to go watch this slop. Is it nice they have a national televised game against Cincinnati? Sure it is. They can play up the Carson Palmer and the Bengals run, and they can bring up the Bengals as a team rising and how Andy Dalton's done a great job and look at Bruce Arians. So there's plenty of storylines. That's fine. Houston, the first preseason game for the Cardinals. Well, the number one pick here. We'll talk to Charles Davis in a couple of minutes. Is that number one pick going to be Johnny Manziel? They have their second preseason games at Minnesota. These games can't get over quick enough for me. And when they lose a player or two of note, because every team gets hit by injuries, whether it's during the season, but in preseason football, it's the biggest waste of money ever. I can't believe that these owners will sit here and watch. Go look at the numbers last year from when training camp opened to the end of the first month of the season, the amount of salary sitting there on injured reserve. We're paying all these guys, Big Jack, to not play because they got hurt in games that didn't matter in August, and they don't matter. And anybody who tries to justify this is just drinking NFL Kool-Aid. Oh, well, we get great ratings, man. We're the NFL, man. Yeah, I got it. You're all that. John Madden turned 76 today. John Madden at 76 years of age. I heard John recently on an interview, and he sounded terrific. He sounded as sharp as ever. Why wouldn't he be? 76, still loves the game, still has a passion for the game. Sometimes you see guys like a John Madden, and they're there one day, and then they're gone, and you don't hear from them again, or very much, if ever. College game, it's Keith Jackson. I haven't heard Keith Jackson in a while. Eric, have you heard from Keith Jackson in a while?
No.
See, like John Madden turning 76, he still does a weekly show during the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he still hits his marks.
Yep.
And he still takes shots at people.
Always
and,
iconic.
And, yes.
Always iconic.
And he's still on top of his game. So without John Madden in the sports scene, or without John Madden in the gaming scene for many of you guys, so yeah, I'm going to acknowledge John Madden today. He's on that Mount Rushmore of sports. There's no question about it. So Santan Ford, where it's all about you, and here's why I want to take a moment here to talk about them. So yesterday, I come back from Tucson, and I stop on into the dealership to see General Manager Tim Hovick and his talk of sports and what's going on. And Tim's not there. He's involved in all sorts of things going on around town. While I'm there at the dealership, one of the sales associates comes in to make sure that what they're having printed out and having sent over to a family for a death in the family looks right, is appropriate. And I'm just there as a bystander. I'm just looking in. It's not just some guy who's there saying, hey, I got to sell a car. This was, let's make sure we take care of these people. It was a real moment, right? They do care about you. Where I say, Santan Ford, it's all about you. Why don't you stop in for yourself? Find that next car, find that next truck. See General Manager Tim Hovick. From day one, he said, Brad Sussmat, I believe in you and what you're doing. We are standing beside you. The Arizona Ford dealers are standing beside you. Go do what you do. That's a big vote of confidence, and it's been great to have him on my side as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds here in 2014. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. That's Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Back with more Charles Davis after this timeout. Across the great state of Arizona and beyond, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports. Going to be part of the Arizona Republic as they take the show day in and day out. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Yesterday we were in Tucson. Spring football scrimmage for the spring game, rather, for the U of A is on Saturday. Rich Rodriguez came by the show. And I wanted to talk to him about a number of things about the team present, but I also wanted to get his view on where Kadeem Carey's pro future lies. The running back, of course, having a terrific career down in Tucson. This was Rich Rodriguez with me yesterday.
What are you hearing on Kadeem Carey's draft status?
You know, we don't hear a lot. They don't tell us anyway, you know. But I think, you know, one, I see projections that, you know, that he could be in the late second, maybe the third, or maybe even the fourth round, but you know, if he's not one of the first three or four running backs taken, I'll be shocked, because I don't care what people say about his measurables, his height, his size, his speed, whatever. Kadeem Carey is a heck of a football player. And there may be one or two running backs better than him, but I haven't seen him. I think he's going to make an NFL squad. I think he's going to play a long time, and they'll be glad they took Kadeem Carey.
Here's Charles Davis now, NFL Network, Fox College football analyst, on the upcoming draft. I want to talk to him about Brett Hundley because of the Arizona connection with Brett and what's going on at UCLA, Pro Bowl, and much more coming in. But Charles, off the top, your view of Kadeem Carey and running backs, you just heard Rich Rod there. Where do you think Kadeem Carey fits in this year's draft?
It's a terrific question, because I see all these different projections out there, and it's something that I work on myself. At NFL Network, where we are, the only person who puts out rankings is really Mike Mayock. And he does such a fantastic job. The rest of us haven't done that. There's been discussion about myself, Daniel Jeremiah, possibly doing our own combined rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things let me not talk for Daniel. I don't want to do that. I've got Kadeem Carey in my top five running backs. I mean, I don't see where he shouldn't be in the top five. I keep hearing all this concern about his so-called long speed, as we do every buzzword possible or buzz phrase possible as we get close to the draft. I don't care about that a heck of a lot. You know, Alfred Morris came out of Florida Atlantic and ran really slow, slower than Kadeem Carey did. I don't remember people saying that Emmitt Smith was a flat-out blazer. You know, these are guys who are good at what they do, run the heck out of the ball, eat carries. I mean, you ever heard of Kadeem Carey wanting to turn down one?
No.
No, of course not. And the guy has done it. Really, look at the offensive system he's been in with Rich Rodriguez. The first year, Matt Scott was really the principal guy, right? I mean, you had a real trigger man. last year, the passing game was really sketchy for a long, long time. He had to carry the team again, even though he missed a game, almost the same amount of yards produced. I'm a big Kadeem Carey fan. I would say that if you were to press me about where I'd rank him, I said in my top five, Carlos Hyde from Ohio State is my number one running back. But I'd put Kadeem Carey up against just about anyone else I would rank. Jeremy Hill from LSU, Bishop Sankey from Washington. I really like Kadeem Carey. Got to see him in person once last year and was really, really impressed. And that was the Washington game where they were threatening to get blown out in that game. Mm-hmm. And I thought Kadeem Carey had a big hand in why they did not.
Charles Davis, you can follow him on Twitter. It's a good follow, at CFD22, CFD22, Charles Davis with Brad Sussmat, NFL Network analyst, Fox college football analyst, a man of many places. He joins Brad Sussmat here for a couple of minutes, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. Is it a matter of running backs? We're just seeing them in a different light now, that taking a running back in the first round, second round, just because of the pure punishment they take doesn't make that much sense unless it's the elite of the elite.
I think it's even less, Brad, the punishment than how we're utilizing them nowadays. It's a pass-first league. It's no longer a league where we're looking and saying, okay, hey, Adrian Peterson, get me a guy who looks just like him mm-hmm. that I'm going to stick in his chest 20-something times. That's how I control the game. You know what the funny part is about that? Who would you say were the best two teams in the NFL at the end of last year? I'm not talking about the Broncos in Seattle because of the Super Bowl, but who really, at the end of the season, when it was all said and done, who do most people acknowledge as the best two teams in the league? Seattle, of course.
Yep.
And I'd say San Francisco. Who led the league in the number of rushing attempts last year? Seattle and San Francisco were 1 and 2.
So your point is you have to have it.
You got to have it. I mean, the teams that win games control the ball with the run game in a big, big way. I'll put it to you this way. When you think of the New Orleans Saints, you think of Drew Brees first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, and you should. You think of that prolific passing attack. You think of Sean Payton in that, you know, Cheesecake Factory play sheet that he has on the sidelines. You think of them dialing up all these pass plays. Year they won the Super Bowl, you know they ranked in rushing in the NFL? Sixth. So when you're talking about teams trying to get it done, I still say those teams that can run it, play defense, open up the passing game that way, those are still, to me, the teams that you're trying to emulate and get to. Kadeem Carey fits that model for me. I think he's a tremendous player. And, you know, to me, turn him down at your own peril. We talked about him extensively earlier this week on NFL Network, and it was a fun conversation because I said right then and there, he's in my top five running backs. Where the people are going to decide to take running backs, who knows? But I know that this guy's a player. I don't care what the long speed says. Carlos Hyde ran 4.66 at the combine, although he pulled up. I don't know how much faster he truly is. You know, Jeremy Hill ran high 4.5s, I heard, at his pro day, so that means he's probably in the 4.6s as a general rule. I'm not too worried about that part of it. Kadeem Carey moves a pile when people try to tackle him. That's what I like. He catches the football out of the backfield. Does he have to learn pass protection? Not many backs that come into the league that don't. I can tell you that coming out of the college system. Most of them are not great pass protectors.
I had a couple people tell me, NFL people, that said how Kadeem Carey does at the board is going to tell them a lot about his draft status. And I think you could say that for anybody, really, Charles. But I heard that even yesterday down in Tucson, that how he does at the board is really going to determine where he is. How well does he really know the game? I don't know if that's a red flag that I've got people telling me that, or if that's just a fact with him.
I think it's a fact because of how much we throw the football. You cannot have your quarterback getting killed. I'll give you a quick – here would be my comparison to something like that. LeGarrette Blount had a monster game in the playoffs last year, didn't he, for New England, right? Wouldn't you ask yourself the question, if he can run like that and he has that type of ability, you remember how he hit the league with Tampa mm-hmm. after he'd gotten cut by Tennessee after being undrafted, where he was just a weapon. I mean, no one wanted to tackle this guy. Why doesn't he touch it more? Why doesn't he play more? Because he's terrible in pass protection. You can't have him on the field in any passing situation. You're going to lose a quarterback. That's why he's been with team after team after team. So when they tell you how he does at the board, in other words, pass protection, understanding of offense, that's what people care about, and it's a real thing. It's not just a catch-all to say, okay, I don't want to tell you what I really think.
Yeah.
It is a catch-all. Now, the teams that grab guys like that that may not be the greatest at pass protection but still know how to utilize them to their best advantage, Well, those are the teams we're usually talking about making playoffs. That would be the Patriots figuring out how to best use a LeGarrette Blount. He may not be great in pass protection, but boy, when we have opportunities to hand him the football and let him barrel over people, let's do that. Play to the strengths. It's like the old song, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess around with Mr. In-Between.
Charles Davis, NFL Network with Brad Sussmat. A couple other questions, we'll let you go. As you sit right now, everybody's trying to figure it out a month out. Where is your number one pick right now in Houston?
My number one pick is Jadeveon Clowney. I know that they are still discussing the quarterback heavy at that point, and they should be. They've got to make a decision about the future of their franchise, if the direction is going to be following a quarterback this year. To me, a lot more quarterback as we head to the draft, and we are 1 month away, 28 days away as we sit here today on Thursday, from the first round of the draft. To me, everyone's got to figure out, okay, with all these quarterbacks, is it worth taking one early? And if not, I'm willing to tell you right now, I think that we're very close to saying, guess what? We're going to the second round, and that's where the vast majority of quarterbacks will be taken. So I think Clowney still sits at number one. But if Houston does go quarterback, my instinct tells me that Blake Bortles would be the selection out of UCF.
How much do you buy into the theory that the Manziel camp has marketed this guy so well that any owner is just going to fall in love with him and overlook the shortcomings of he's one hit away because he's a little slight, as some say? Because the business side of Johnny Manziel has to factor in with one of these 32 owners, doesn't it?
I would think so, and that's why I've been consistent in saying that Jacksonville is a great spot for him. Because isn't Jacksonville the place we have a lot of tarps on the seats and we're worried about, you know, blackouts each week?
Sure.
And haven't they given away a game every year until Kingdom Come to go to London? And every time we talk about that a franchise that potentially could move, isn't Jacksonville one of the first names that rolls off everyone's tongue? Jacksonville is also the place that everyone was screaming, where should a certain quarterback that you have just mentioned, that you've just described, different guy,
yep,
Tim Tebow, right? How many times did people say, Jacksonville, sell some tickets, generate some buzz? To me, that's what you say is truly in play with a ownership and a marketing group, but it's not in play with a pro personnel group, a GM and
it shouldn't
and
be
people
in play.
They're evaluating it entirely differently.
Right. It should not be in play. That's my point. But
your point is right on target, but you also are a realist. That's why you posed it that way. There's no getting around it that someone's going to do that. Look, years ago, and Brad, you've known me for a little while now, I have not gotten very many things right in my life. Trust me on this one, okay? When I look at it, and as Grantland Rice said, when the great scorekeeper comes to mark by your name, I don't know how many times he's going to put a check in the right column for me, okay? One I did get correct, I said in January of his draft year that Tim Tebow would be drafted in the first round. Someone would fall in love with Tim Tebow.
Yep.
Someone would be convinced that they could fix the throwing motion. The charisma of Tim Tebow would suck them in. It would take them, and it would do it, and I said, someone's going to do it. I got that one right. But Johnny Manziel, it's not the playing ability that you're worried about. You're worried about the rest of the thing. Do you really get to know him as a kid? Are we seeing the best side of him now as we approach the draft, and will he revert back to some of the things you worried about off the field with him before? Those are things you worry about. Is he small? Yeah. Is he slight of frame? Yes. Robert Griffin III wasn't huge, taller, but I think Robert Griffin III was probably around 215 pounds.
Mm.
So it's not a big difference. Teddy Bridgewater's a little slight in frame. Will he buy into taking care of himself on the field and get down and slide as opposed to being a little reckless as he was in college making plays? College, you can get away with it because most of the guys you play with in college that you're playing against, they have CPA after their names. Or MBA. The guys you're playing at the NFL all have NFL after their name.
That's a great line. I mentioned I'd ask you about Brett Hundley. So give me about a minute here on Brett Hundley and this Hundley for Heisman as we start looking ahead to next year. Are you on that or not?
No, I'm on it. I was on it last year, but you know, it's one of those things that I think it probably did Brett and UCLA a good deal of good. That they went through it last year, and now they know what they're dealing with. You know, that hype comes at you, and even in this day and age where you've got your own Twitter account and you feel like you're doing hype every day,
yep.
when you become the central focus of something, it's a whole different burden to carry. I think he'll carry it a lot lighter this year than maybe he did last year. I think last year, early in the season, he played well, but you almost felt like, I've got to be perfect, was coming out of him. And he doesn't have to be perfect. Nope. He has to be Brett Hundley. And the quarterback out there that's perfect, he's terrific. And I think that they'll carry that whole burden a lot better this year. And I think we're going to see the best of Brett Hundley. I think he's a terrific player. I buy into the Heisman hype. And I also buy into him being a terrific pro. One of the best moves he made was staying in this year in terms of football,
yep.
In terms of getting better, staying in, continuing to work, another chance to have 12, 13 starts and add to his resume and add to his experience. I think that's a very good move for him for pro potential.
And one player here locally, before I let you go, Will Sutton was viewed as a first-round pick a year ago, Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year a year ago. Will Sutton did not have a great season this last year, has not had a good offseason. It's the biggest mystery around the draft in the state of Arizona.
I'd like to know what got in his head that he decided that he had to be 300-plus pounds.
Who was
Will
the one
Sutton
that said it
what,
to him?
Will Sutton at 280, 285? Wasn't blocked, was he?
No.
I mean, he was something. Last year, he still was good, but he wasn't making game-changing plays. Look, he was still voted, you know, what, Defensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12 and the Jacobs Award, which comes from the guys he has to play against. So I have to listen to that. That means something when it comes from your peers. But the same thing happens in the Pro Bowl, too. You know what they say in the NFL about the Pro Bowl? You usually go a year too late because it takes a while for your rep to catch up, and then you go a year longer than you should because your rep has held firm. I think that might have helped Will Sutton a little bit this year because I think at 280, 285, we're talking about Aaron Donald, who now has risen to the top of most draft boards as a defensive tackle, correct, from Pitt? You look at Will Sutton at 300-plus pounds, I didn't see the same bounce, vitality, life, and it continues to push him down the draft board. He, as you said, his offseason has not been terrific either. He hasn't made that move, that change, that charge up the board when people see him in individual workouts and at the combine. And that, frankly, has puzzled me a little bit because I thought he was a terrific player 2 years ago. Now he's in that pack of other guys. And Will Sutton, I thought, was a much better player than being in the pack with other guys.
That's a good way to put it. I appreciate your insight, as always. Great catching up with you. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks for having me. You take care of yourself, okay?
There you go. Charles Davis with us for a couple of minutes. Appreciate his time. NFL Network, good stuff there. NFL on Fox, college football analyst, and much, much more. Great stuff there from him. Sports360AZ.com. Do things a little differently here as we roll through it on the stream. Thanks for checking us out on the radio. Thanks for checking us out on your mobile device. We're here Monday through Friday. You can check out all of our content. High school, college, pro, not necessarily in that order. Just depends on what we see. A little different content at Sports360AZ.com. Appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic and AZ Central Sports, too.